Is it reloaded? Thank you. So we started off with three things that were lost regularly. Phones, keys, glasses. Jesus had different three things. He had sheep, coins, sons. Three stories about lost things and found things. Three parables that Jesus told in response to religious people complaining about how Jesus was spending his time and what he was all about. Three stories that Jesus told to help explain why he did what he did and what he was all about. Three parables that should challenge our agendas and our priorities, that should shape our lives. So we're halfway through 3 weeks of reflecting what our priorities and focus should be as a church over the coming year. What's our vision? What do we think God is calling us to do specifically? Because we all know life's busy, isn't it? The options are immense. We've got a bank holiday weekend coming up. I wonder if you've made plans. How should we spend it? Should I be spring cleaning my house, working hard in the garden, visiting a National Trust place, doing those DIY jobs we've put off, hosting a teenage party, catching up with a friend we haven't seen for ages, helping our kids with some revision, taking our family on a day trip, taking our son to a music festival, getting serious with the sport, starting that good book we haven't seen, visiting a lonely neighbour, trying a new recipe, watching a box set, sleeping? The possibilities are endless, aren't they? And just thinking about all the different things that you could do is quite overwhelming. Because loads of those things are really good things. But clearly, no one could possibly do them all. You'll have to guess which two of those were in my definite list. But the point is, we only have so much time and so much energy, so many resources, and how we invest it matters. Jesus faced that problem. He left lots of amazing things undone while he was on earth. He did lots of amazing things, but he didn't do everything. He didn't do everything. The challenge is to work out what God is calling us to do and to do those things, to focus on them, to get our priorities and live it out. And not be distracted by all the other things that can crowd in. Now, over the last couple of years, God has been calling us as a church to be focused on being a people and place of prayer, care, and share. If you've been in our church for a while, hopefully you've heard those words before. You hopefully have read them on the poster over there. And we've spent a year focusing particularly on the first bit, the prayer. Then a year on care. And now we're entering into that third year, the year of share. It's a year when we want to allow God to shape us into a people who just naturally share the good news we've been given, so that our families and friends, our neighbours, our town, our country might be transformed as people discover the love of God for themselves. It's a year when we want to ask God, what do you want us to do with our buildings that we might better share the good news? We want to be a people and place of share. But what does it look like in practice? We're going to think this morning about what we need to be a people of share. People who naturally talk about Jesus with those around us. What would that look like? Now, we all come here this morning with different stories, don't we? We're in different places with God. Some of us will have been following Jesus as long as we can remember. Others will have recently discovered that Jesus is alive and real. Others of us will still be very cautious about this whole idea of following Christ. And we certainly wouldn't be ready for sharing that with anybody. Some of us aren't really exactly sure why we did come here this morning. That's okay. Some of us feel more like the lost coin than the woman who was looking. All those different places are fine. We're all in different places on our journey. God calls us in different ways. Life can take many different good forms and shapes. But there's just one God to shape life around. And that's what this whole share thing is all about. Sharing the good news of the living God with our world. So this morning, I want us to think about what we need to do if we're going to be that people who share, and how that will shape our year as we think about becoming that people. And I've got three words particularly to help us this morning: confidence, care, and capability. Confidence, care, and capability. Let's start with confidence. Now, it's a sad thing to confess in public, but when I first bought a Dyson vacuum cleaner, I was so impressed with how amazing it was that I went around telling everybody that it was the most marvelous thing ever and they needed to get one. I wish I'd been on commission, but sadly I wasn't. No one was telling me to share the good news that James Dyson had invented an awesome device, but I'd just experienced it for myself, and so I started telling people. When James first got an iPhone, he was so excited about how brilliant it was. I can't tell you how many people he persuaded to try Apple products. Again, sadly, no commission. It was just natural sharing of a positive experience. I was confident that Dyson vacuum cleaners were ahead of their time. James was confident that Apple was the best at the time, and so we both shared it. So the first thing we're going to need, if we have any hope at all of sharing the gospel, is confidence. If we have even the vaguest hope of sharing it, we need to have confidence that what we're talking about is good news. And not just good news, but the best news we could ever hear. We need confidence to know that this news we're talking about will change lives, both ours and those of us around. So I wonder how confident you feel this morning. Are you confident that God is alive? He is at work in our world and our life today. Are we confident of God's goodness and that choosing to follow him is the best choice anyone could make? Are we confident of the consequences of that choice? Do we have confidence that it's a life or death matter? Have we taken it to heart that Christianity isn't just a lifestyle choice? Jesus said it was a life choice. Choose God, choose life. Reject God, reject life. That's a big statement. Do we have confidence in it? Because that's the way that Jesus spoke. He never talked about following God as being an optional extra. So we do need to understand what's at stake and have confidence in Jesus' words. It's a really big deal. Now, here in the UK, we live in a society where being a Christian and going to church is a bit of a minority choice. Apparently, more people in the UK belong to the RSPB than go to church on Sunday morning. Simply looking at the numbers, God seems to be less important than the odd bird. So surely it can't matter that much, can it? I mean, can it? The UK is a nice place to live. Clearly Christianity can't be that big a deal, can it? It isn't surprising that we may be a bit unconfident about how important this good news is. But this isn't the case around the world. It's good to be reminded that in other parts of the world, Christianity is exploding and that it's the world's biggest and fastest growing faith. Other people can see what we might be blind to. We don't need to lose confidence. Jesus matters. He is alive and at work in our world, and he is good news. Debbie read to us from Colossians chapter 4. Earlier in that book, Paul writes this: "The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." That is still true 2,000 years later. The gospel is bearing fruit and growing. And Paul goes on in this book of Colossians to explain what difference it makes, what that good news is. He writes, "God has rescued us from the power of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loves. His Son paid the price to free us, which means that our sins are forgiven. This is good news for everyone, and we can have confidence in it." But confidence is a funny thing, isn't it? Just because you once had it doesn't mean you've always got it. When I came to buy my next vacuum cleaner, several years later, I ended up actually buying something other than a Dyson, because Dysons were so much more expensive and I thought surely everybody else will have caught up. But no, it was a mistake. I should have stuck with Dyson. Guess what I've gone back to now? And as we sit here this morning, it may be that you did once have confidence in Jesus and the gospel, but somehow it slipped away. Perhaps you know lots of lovely people who aren't Christians, and you don't want to buy into something that implies perhaps they've made a mistake. Perhaps you've experienced some really tough things in your life, stuff that you don't think should have happened to someone who follows a loving God. Perhaps you're attracted by lifestyle choices that don't seem to be compatible with following Jesus. There is a whole host of reasons why we can lose our confidence in Jesus. Well, this year we want to help each of us develop a new confidence in the gospel, in the good news. That's what it means. It doesn't matter whether you would call yourself a Christian or not. If you stick around, I hope that by the end of the year, you will know what Christianity actually is. And even if you haven't made the decision to actually follow Jesus, you'll be able to see that Christianity is good news, worth considering. And if you have decided to follow Jesus, you'll see that it's definitely worth sharing. So to help us in this, we've decided to run the Alpha Topics here in church for our sermon series in June and July. We're going to be using the films in the 9:15 and the 10:45 services. If you're an old hand, we hope that you'll be refreshed and reminded why following Jesus makes sense and is a good decision. If you're uncertain, hopefully it will bring clarity. And whoever you are, maybe it'll help you see that this is a great course and you might want to invite somebody or go yourself next time we run it. So confidence. In the coming year, we want to help us develop our confidence so we can be a people who share. Secondly, if we're going to be a people who share, we're going to need to care. You will only share something good with other people if you care about them. If I discover a lovely new place to walk or a great recipe or something, I don't go round to the houses of the people I don't like and tell them about it. I tell the people I do like, the ones I've got relationships with, the people who I want to bless and encourage. Now, this is quite a challenge, I think, because sometimes I wonder if I don't do as much sharing, because actually I'm not really that fussed about people. I suspect, perhaps, I don't really care. But God cares about every single human being on our planet. The noisy ones, the quiet ones, the old ones, the young ones, the fit ones, the unfit ones, the sick, the healthy, the rich, the poor, the beautiful, the ugly. God cares passionately about every single one. And if I claim to be his follower, then he calls me to share in that care and concern. He wants me to see people like he does and to care about them. That's why he told these three parables that we're looking at over these 3 weeks to the religious leaders in the first place, because they're complaining that Jesus is spending time with unsavory characters. He tells the stories to show how much God cares about each person. And not only does he care, but he cares so much, he'll leave 99 who are fine to go and look for the one who is lost. So if I'm going to be a person who shares, I've got to be a person who cares. Only caring people will share. So I think we need to develop bigger hearts. Hearts that see people who don't know God as lost. Even if that's not how they see it, and even if perhaps they might feel that's a little bit of an offensive phrase, I can see how that might sound offensive. But actually you can take that up with Jesus. That's how he described people who didn't know him. But the point is, not only do we need confidence, but we also need to care enough to share it with people. If we don't care about people, we simply won't bother and we'll keep it for ourselves. And most people are smart, aren't they? We can suss out when somebody's motives are not pure. We're very suspicious, aren't we, to people on the doorstep trying to sell us something or tell us that their product's best. We're very nervous of phone calls and all that kind of stuff. We can sniff out dodgy motives very quickly. That's one of the reasons why we can't be fake. We have to be authentic. We do have to care. We mustn't stop being a people who care just because we're focusing on share this year. Maybe it means we need to care even more because most people want to know that we care before they're ready to listen to what we've got to share. Jesus preached for hours, but he also fed people who were hungry. He talked of love, but he healed people who were hurting. People could tell that Jesus cared. That's why they listened. So one of the things we'd like to invest in this year is a church freezer. We'd like to stock up on meals that can be distributed to people in need, both in and outside the church. We want to be a people who care and show it in action. Maybe that's something you'd like to contribute to. But also it means that if we're going to continue being a people, we need to be a people of prayer. Because that's the only way my heart is actually going to grow in love and change. It's the only way I'm going to become more like him, if I pray and spend time with him. Paul writes in verse 2 of our Bible passage, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. as I pray for people, it will lead me not just to care, but also it will help me naturally to share. So this year, let's continue to grow as people of prayer as well. As the Archbishop said in that video we saw, we've got the opportunity to be involved in transforming people's lives through prayer. Let's care enough to take up this challenge and to pray. Let's do this kingdom come, praying for 5 people for 10 days. Let's pray, whatever different way can work. Come to prayer meetings, pray on your own, pray with friends. Let's care enough to pray. And as we pray, our prayer will turn to care. So we need confidence, we need care, and the final C is capability. Now I wonder if this is the place where some of us get a bit stuck. We genuinely do care. We've got confidence that Jesus is good news for everyone, but we feel totally incapable of actually sharing that news in any meaningful way. Maybe we feel really inadequate or are very vague and unclear. Maybe we think we might say the wrong thing or might not be able to answer questions. We worry we're going to offend people. We have offended somebody in the past. We just don't feel we can do it. We're not capable of sharing. So this year, we want to help each of us develop our capabilities in this area. Paul writes in verse 5 and 6 of the passage we heard, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone. There are wise ways of speaking, and there are foolish ways. There are good conversations that build people up, and there are ways to shut things down." We can learn to do everyday life and everyday conversation better in ways that invite questions and open up our lives with opportunities to share. We can become more capable in our own way. One of the issues with sharing the good news is so often we think that we have to do it in a particular way. We have to be an evangelist. Well, there are clearly some people who've got that gift, and the church needs them desperately. But we don't all have that. But we're not all called to be evangelists like that. But we all are called to be witnesses and to make the most of our opportunities with our personalities and our skills and our unique circumstances. Some of us will be particularly good at inviting people to things. Some of us will be particularly good at sharing our own stories. Others will be brilliant at opening up their houses and welcoming people in. Others will be really good at serving one another so that people are so overwhelmed with that generosity that they want to ask about more. Some of us are particularly good at helping people answer difficult questions they may have. We all have different styles, different ways, different natural ways to share the good news. And one of the things we want to do this year, as we think about becoming that people of share, is to run some courses and things to help identify and embrace our natural sharing styles and become more comfortable, more capable to share that good news. So confidence, care, and capability. Confidence, care, and capability. I wonder which issue is the biggest for you this morning. I wonder what particularly you might think that God wants to work on in you. I wonder how he's been speaking to you this morning. In this year ahead, I want to invite you all to be involved, to be part of this journey of becoming a people and a place of prayer, care, and share. It might be costly, it might be a bit uncomfortable, but it will be exciting. One of the things you had when you came in was a card here called Good News. It just unpacks a little bit more about what we're hoping to do. It's a sort of summary of what we're looking at over the 3 weeks. So don't bin it, hold on to it. We'll complete looking at it next week. But this is just an opportunity for you to think through yourself, how you want to respond to what God's saying and what he's calling us to do. And have a look in that later and see what opportunities there are there for you and what you want to do. But we're going to finish this little time now by listening to a song and having some space to reflect. It's a song called Live It Well. You've got one life. How are you going to choose to live it